Hey everybody, Matt Siltala here alongside Dave Rohr. I'm with Avalanche Media, Dave with Northside Metrics for another one of these exciting podcast episodes. And today, what we're going to talk about is, well, something in the industry that just happened that's kind of funny slash not funny, but we're going to be talking about the importance of domains and registering them and making sure that you're the one that's in control of them. Because why don't you kick us off, Dave, and kind of give us an idea why you had, you know, why you wanted to talk about it with this episode.
I won't mention the poor company and the poor people that have had to go through the not so fun stuff. But I mean, an entire service went down because the domain didn't get registered.
And didn't someone else purchase the domain for them and kind of like was a good Samaritan with it all and saved them?
Yeah, someone did actually renew it for them and paid for it. I'm sure he's getting flooded with t-shirts and tchotchkes and probably, you know, gift cards to a nice dinner somewhere. And who knows what else. Maybe he'll blog about it and say, you know, thanks people for, you know, all this nice stuff. But luckily they did have a good Samaritan. And there's also been stories about various domains being stolen from people over the years that they, you know, people just
maybe walk through the people how that happens, and so maybe it can help them avoid something like that ever happening to them.
I am not a security person. We should have a security person on that can talk about that. We could have my wife Carolyn who's talked about that in various pub cons and stuff. But I want to say it was, and I'm probably wrong about this, but it was like either sex.com or something in that adult space where someone kind of came in and talked through the customer service people, and there just wasn't enough levels of security. There was some sort of weak point with the customer service person, but also with how it was set up, and they were able to kind of steal their domain.
Wow.
Much easier to steal someone's domain is to, you know, just kind of wait for it to drop. And what that is when someone doesn't renew a domain, you can go in and kind of get it. And so all of those links, all of the traffic that might be going there, you know, you can reconstruct it, you can redirect it, and you can basically quote unquote steal their traffic.
Now, I know that you are not legal and I'm not legal, and we tell people that many times throughout this podcast, but I'm curious, you know, have you ever read anything or do you know anything about the legalities of something like that? Like, you know, if you do take it over, but yet, you know, they're the ones that have it, you know, proven registered trademark, or I can't even remember the way, you know, the wording for it, but what about something like that? What kind of issues would people run into with, you know, letting it go and then, but not being too worried about it because they know that they own the rights to it or something?
I'm not a legal person, but just thinking through the process and stuff, you could go back to the registrar and say, hey, I let it drop. And they'd be like, basically it says, but they just registered it.
Yeah.
So then you'd have to go through, you'd have to go through your lawyers. Or talk to a lawyer about that stuff to say, hey, you know, here's my trademark. You'd have to go dig up all your trademark stuff. If you don't have it, it's going to become even more difficult.
So bottom line is at least you're saving yourself from a whole lot of legal and possibly money they're paying for legal, which is not cheap. And more importantly, just the headache of it and embarrassment.
Yeah. Well, and if you live and die, you know, we did a show recently where if you have one channel and that channel's organic and you lose your domain, now what are you doing?
Yeah.
Now you have to reset up your AdWords, your Bing PPC.
Oh, didn't even think about all that side of it. Yeah.
All of the kind of headaches that go with it. And there's so many different places out there. Some places charge anywhere from, depending on what the domain is, there was just a sale where I register my domains at Namecheap. And there was just a sale for 48 cents a year.
Oh, wow.
For domains, like domains for all, every different personality. And there's like, it's all these new extensions where it's .trade, .date, .accountant. .racing, .webcam, .science, .cricket, you know, all these different things. So if you're an accountant and you're listening, you know, and you already have a domain or something, you could get the, your name, .accountant, and just redirect it.
Yeah.
For 48 cents.
Wow, that's crazy.
Register it for 10 years.
So, are there any tools that you know of that monitor that kind of help you remember when you need to renew, or hey, if it's down or anything like that? Are there any ones that are your, that you know of off the top of your head that are your more favorite ones?
I haven't consolidated my domains, so I do get emails all over the place. I've also personally lost domains because I stopped paying attention to emails. So the best thing to do, most of them I've consolidated into one place, but I still have them in three places now, I think. Yeah, three. The best thing to do is to go through, and if you are someone, I was not a true domainer. I think I got up to 60 to 80 domains at one point. I think I'm down to like about 20, 25, maybe 30 at the very most.
Okay, that's not bad.
And a lot of them are variations of the name, and some of them will be dropping because I had a couple projects and, you know, I picked different ones. Like for this project, I think I had three different domains registered at one point.
Gotcha.
We decided on the name. I'll let the other ones drop.
Gotcha.
$20 just to make sure I had it if we wanted it, you know, and now it's gone. Make sure you have the correct and most recent and or an email address you actually check all the time. I just got a notification that one of the credit cards I had on file somewhere is about to expire because it's an old one. So I can have all the renewals stuff set up and turned on. But if my credit card's out of date and my email isn't going to me, and usually in a bigger company, that's what happens.
Right.
You know, if no one sees the email that says your credit card's out of date, no one's going to see the email that says, hey, your domain is expired. You need to re-register it. Hey, last chance. Hey, it's going to drop.
How easy is it? And I've done this in the case, you know, with certain domains that are really important. I'll set up just calendar alerts to, hey, go and make sure this is renewed, or go and make sure your credit card information is up to date. And, you know, it takes 2 seconds to make yourself a calendar reminder. And that's something simple that, you know, you do tend to pay attention to those, because most of the time we have all those alerts that go right to our phone or our watch or whatever it might be. And it's just one added layer of protection, especially, you know, like we're talking about with the story that you started us off with, especially if you're a business like that, where, I mean, you know, think about there's some businesses that literally millions of dollars could be lost for the domain even being down a day.
Yeah. And when I worked in-house in the SaaS solution, we went much to the IT chagrin, we created our own domain register list because we got tired of asking them to go through their system. And if we wanted to redirect it or whatever we wanted to do, they were also paying more than we wanted them to pay, and they wouldn't change. So we went and created our own. And then what we did is we had, for the marketing team, we had marketing at, you know, whatever your company name is, and it was basically internal email list. So anytime an email alert came in from any service that we set up, which would be, you know, for Google Analytics, it was a user. For our domains, it was a user. For certain services we used, so that if I quit or my boss or someone else that managed it day to day and they left and their email went away, it wasn't emailed to them. Instead, it would go to this one that would then blast it out to everyone on this team.
My dog's saying hi to everyone, by the way. Oh, the fun!
Chasing a scorpion.
Yeah, the joys of recording live, folks. But yeah, so what? One of the things that I was thinking too is it in our industry, Bill Hunt, that's a pretty big domainer, right?
Bill Hartzer probably.
Or Hartzer.
I'm sure has a bunch.
Yes, that
Hartzer probably has more.
That's exactly who I'm talking about. Thank you. I was thinking, whenever we were talking about all this, maybe dropping a link for everyone, all the listeners, to go and check out his stuff, because he's always sharing great information about domains and domaining and stuff like that. So I just got my people crossed up for a second. But one of the things that I wanted to touch on here too, Dave, and maybe you could share your thoughts on this, but have you ever been working with a client, doing an audit, trying to figure out, hey, they're telling you stuff like, hey, things aren't working so good. Like all of a sudden I lost rankings, or, you know, I can't, it seems like I've been penalized or whatever. And you go and you look and they're using a free hosting service, and that free hosting service, you start to look at the neighboring sites and they're either like Viagra or porn or something that's not savory. And that's some of the risks that you run into with free hosting services. And so just share some of your thoughts on that and why it's good to avoid.
And if you have your own domain, I don't know why you would be using a free hosting service. Also, you know, on the side of your truck, are you going to put mycompany.freehost.com?
Yeah, true.
Or are you going to put it on your business card? For me, it just looks not professional. You know, all other SEO and all other things aside, which is another complete issue, but you don't have control of it. Say you're in business for 10 years and, you know, you're building links, you're building awareness to your brand, and now you're actually like, oh, wow, I want a domain. How do you redirect that stuff from an SEO standpoint? And if something does happen to it, like you said, you're kind of associated with them. What happens when they close?
Yeah.
Because their business model, you know, isn't working out and they decide to close. Now all of your content, everything is on this free hosting company. You kind of lose that all too.
Well, it kind of reminds me when we were talking about this, you know, in the local space, like, remember how a long time ago, and I'm hoping that it's not so much of an issue now, that enough of the word's gotten out, but I know that there's still some people that suffer with it. But remember back in the day, you know, you'd pay Yellow Pages, for example, you know, for a listing, and they would build it up and they would get you ranked, you know, certain keyword phrases would be searched for and Yellow Pages would come up and it was your listing. But then you decide you don't want to pay Yellow Pages anymore. They're the one that owns that, and then it's, boom, all gone. And so kind of the same concept there. You're like making sure no matter what, you're the one that's always in control. Because like you said, we've talked about this before many times too, about just different websites that you thought would never die. Like there was people I knew that had their whole business on Vine. You know, they made a whole business out of 6-second videos and it went under and gone. And so like, what do you do now? So what happens in that kind of a situation? Well, when you're always in control of it, you don't have to worry about that.
Yep, and if you ever want to do a site redesign, your design, and maybe your free hosting service really isn't mobile friendly at this point, which it really should be. You know, if you're using any of the Shopify's and the other alternatives, Squarespace is one. Another one I was just working on recently, or the Evil Wix.
Yeah.
Bad.
I love how their commercials make it so easy. It's just like this. Just, just click a button. I can feel you getting angry right now.
Hours and hours trying to fix like design issues in one of those that I shouldn't be doing. It's supposed to be so easy.
Yeah.
yet I spent about 4 or 5 hours trying to fix small little issues, and then they actually spent a whole bunch of time trying to fix it themselves too.
So here's a question for you, because I know that there's lots of people in our industry that yell at you for, you know, I can't believe you registered that through GoDaddy.com or whatever. What are some of the better domain registrars? Like, where would you say people should go and spend their money, and what's the best? Share that with us.
What's the best? I personally still have a couple at GoDaddy. I now use mostly Namecheap.
Okay.
Namecheap.com. My favorite solution for looking up domains is Domainr, and I will drop a link in there. It's D domai.nr. But if you're trying to come up with ideas for a domain or a company name, I typically go there.
Now, what you sparked something that made me think of this, but or you said something that just sparked this thought in my mind. But what would you recommend to the people that are trying to? And again, since we're talking about domains, but you know, should I get the .com? Should I avoid the .org or the .net or the .info? Or should I think about, like with what we did, we're .digital. Like what? How do you determine that? What are your best guidelines and tips for people in that regard?
I also have two or three other variations where I do use the .com for this vlogcast. I literally have three or four. For you know, using just us as an example, the business of .digital, it was nice and short. You know, business of .digital is the domain name. Did I repeat that enough?
That's great. Well, I'm just thinking
keep repeating it. But I also have a couple variations of the .com, so that if someone was to go, oh, well, I want to do, you know, I want this, it's redirecting to our site right now.
Gotcha. Nice.
So for us, I thought it made sense to go with .digital. I could probably argue with myself, good or bad, depending. But it was short, it was cleaner, it was easier.
Well, that
should... Oops, sorry, go ahead.
Well, no, that's just what I was thinking, because right now there's so many .coms. I mean, and every once in a while you can still luck out and find one that's shorter, but good luck trying to find a really short .com anymore these days.
Yeah, it can get... I was just going to go into my system and see which other ones I had, just to, as an example.
Well, while you're doing that, are there any ones that you typically would try to tell people to stay away from? Like, you know, what are your thoughts on the .infos or the, you know, the whatever? You know what I'm talking about?
I'm not crazy about .infos. And some of them get to be full of spam. And the fact that, you know, Namecheap is offering, and I've registered lots of .infos in the past. Nothing against some of them. Just using that as an example. But sometimes when they're too cheap and too easy, people just spam them with a bunch of really cheap sites. And after a year or two, lots of them probably fade away. I'm just looking at this one list that Namecheap had. Dot download. Webcam. I have a feeling that for those two, you know, the kitty filters and the porn site filters are probably going to hit those.
True.
And the McAfee's are probably going to hit those pretty hard when people start misusing them. .stream. Also, you know, if you have children at home and you start using like Xfinity or any of the kitty stuff, it becomes really easy for me as a parent to block those types of sites. So if you get lumped in with some of those, you might be the baby getting thrown out with the bathwater.
Gotcha. So again, all more good reasons to be on your own, to pick a good domain name, to pick one of the ones that aren't associated with that. And again, I'm thinking because there's so many opportunities, like I love that we're a business of .digital. Like I think that's great. I mean, I don't know that there's any kind of rule anywhere that says you have to be a .com in order to be successful. So I think it's great as long as we follow a lot of these other things that we talked about and making sure that you're not using some free hosting service, that you're the one that's in control of them. You're not putting all your eggs in that basket, so in case that basket ever drops and all your eggs are gone. So
yeah, if nothing else, register your own domain and host it on your own. Set up some sort of email so that you don't lose it and that you always will check. And if you're going to be using it for a while, register it for 10 years.
Yeah.
Register it for as long as you can.
And that's what I'm always telling people. And I don't know whether this was true or not back in the day, but I used to, and again, I'm saying this was like 10 years ago. I used to tell people, hey, you know, Google's going to look at it as these guys are interested in this business in the long term, if they're just interested in spamming. You know, I don't know whether that was true or not, but I did it back in the day, and I still think to this day, like, it's a good idea. If you know you're going to be in it for a long time and you're not, it's not a burner one, then yeah, registered absolutely for as long as you can.
Yeah, at least 2 to 5 years. I'm looking, I have one through 2020, a couple other ones. Most of my other ones are like 2018, 2019, probably because I did them for a couple years at least. And I have a couple that are just projects. I don't even know how many domains I have right now here in this folder. Some of them are projects that I'm like, oh, that'd be a cool project. And I go and register the domain for those. I set it to for 1 year. And then when it comes up in the next year, I take a look and I'm like, do I actually have time? Am I actually going to do anything with this? You know, then I start to think about what I should do.
Yeah, we all have those late night bad decision domain purchases. One of mine, and I'll just confess, I'll end with this, and then you can wrap it up however you want. But I bought twitteredupon.com at one point because I had it in my mind that I was going to create this awesome, you know, dig style type site where you came across tweets and you can vote them and how much you loved them. Dude, it was like my $1 million idea that I had at like 2 a.m. and I just woke up and I purchased it and realized that, yeah, that was a bad decision.
I've let most of those go now. I don't have a lot of them. I'm just looking. Yeah, I've let most of those kinds of go. But like for Business of Digital, I have 4. I have 4. 4 different domains, all variations of, all very similar and close. And it cost me, $40 a year?
Well, and the thing is, but that's good though, too. Like, and something that we didn't really touch upon or mention, but, you know, just for the reputation side of it, what you were saying a little bit, when people type in, or like, let's say that they do go, they think that it should be a .com or whatever, and they type it in it redirects, it's great for reputation purposes. And a lot of times, you know, if we're working with a business and we're doing reputation stuff, or they think that they might have some issues or whatever, you know, we'll even go in and buy like the naughty word ones and the sucks. Yep. And the, you know, like, again, I'm not wanting to turn this into a whole reputation management type podcast, but again, since we're talking about domains, you know, there's a whole other benefit to, you know, to doing that side of it.
Yep. And even if you aren't the person that manages your domain, make sure you have an access to it, you know, and so that you don't get locked out, and just, you know, set up some sort of email address so that it blasts you and a bunch of people, and make sure the credit card's up to date. And that's really the best thing to do.
Awesome. That's great advice. Let's go ahead and wrap this one up. Appreciate, you know, this has been a great conversation. And so for everyone listening, we're going to have some good links for you as far as domains that we use, people that are good domain, you know, just wealth of information. Bill Hartzer, shout out to him, and appreciate everybody joining and checking out this latest episode of our podcast on the Business of Digital. So for Dave Rohr, I'm Matt Sultula with Avalanche Media, Dave with Northside Metrics. We will see you on the next episode. Thank you, guys.